We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to, it's called the 42nd chapter, the first Pasuk, and our learning this morning is dedicated to Ozer ben Alexander HaKohen Berger. May his neshama have an aliyah. It's his yahrzeit today. People are welcome to make a blessing in the Leilui Nishmas. We're up to Pasuk Aleph. Hein avdi et mochvo. Behold, my servant, there are none like him. And so I support him, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. My servant, who is my servant? So here we have two interpretations as to who this chapter is talking about. As often happens in Yeshaya and in Tehillim, we have verses that some of the commentaries understand are talking about the Mashiach. Some of the commentaries understand they're talking about all of the people of Israel at large. It's talking about all of Am Yisrael. So who is my servant? The Targum says, it's talking about Mashiach. That's how the Metzudah interprets also. Rashi learns it's talking about the people of Israel. It's talking about the unique one, either all of Israel or the Mashiach. Bechiri ratzeta nafshi, my chosen one, who I have desired, Hashem says. So I've given away my secrets to my people of Israel. I've told them what I haven't told any other nation. Natati ruchi alav, I've placed my spirit upon him, upon the people of Israel. Mishpat lagoyim yotzi, and he will bring justice facing the nations. So Chazal tell us, we had it in the beginning of the Navi Yeshaya, that the nations will come and say, teach us the way. Mishpat lagoyim yotzi. The nations will come and say, I want you to tell me what's the just way, how should we be behaving? Lo yitzak v'lo yisa. He will not yell, he will not lift his voice. V'lo yoshmia b'chutz kolo. Nor will they proselytize. They're not going to go around preaching. People will come to them and ask, what are you teaching? Lo yashmia b'chutz. They won't go out, they won't go to the marketplaces, they won't advertise and say, hey, this is what we're selling. On the contrary, people will come to them and say, what do you have to offer? Kane ratzutz lo yishmor. They will not break the reed that is splintered. Kane ratzutz lo yishmor. The way judges would often do is they take the person who's on the verge of losing and they break them completely. So if there's a court case between two and one is super wealthy and the other one's super poor, so the judge wants to side with the super wealthy, and so he doesn't mind that it's at the expense of many people who are super poor. Kane ratzutz lo yishbo. They won't break the reed that is all splintered. Now, this is a metaphor. This metaphor sometimes refers to the people of Israel. Sometimes it refers to the Egyptians. Sometimes it refers to what Am Yisrael would rely on. And Hashem says, you're relying on things that won't help you. If you lean on it, it'll just break your hand like a splintered reed that you try to lean on, and it only serves to cut the hand that tries to lean on it. Over here, kane ratzutz is, again, it's a metaphor that shows up numerous times in Yeshaya. Over here, it's talking about the poor, the people who really have no help. They're like a splintered reed. So they won't break them further. Ufishtacheha lo yechabena. And when you have flax that's already burning, so then you're using that flax to burn, but now the flame is almost extinguished. So instead of enjoying the little bit of fire that's left, you say, I'll put it out completely. No. So the righteousness of Israel will be that even if the wick is almost out, they won't help put it out. And that's, again, a metaphor for those who step on those that are down. They're almost down and out, so they step on them and make sure they're down and out. So that's part of the justice that Am Yisrael will not do that. We have a mitzvah that says the opposite. If a person's down, try to help them, they should not become down and out. Le'emet yotzi mishpat. On the contrary, they will pursue the truth when they look for justice, and that's why people will look to them to say, well, what's just? Lo yichev ve'lo yarutz. Their light will not dim. Ve'lo yarutz. And they will not be bashed, nor will they bash others. Ad yasim ba'aretz mishpat. To the point where they will succeed in bringing justice to the world, but not through putting down others. They will bring it because they themselves will grow and the world will admire them and say, we want to come learn from you. So Am Yisrael lo yichev ve'lo yarutz, even though often in order to get to the top, you got to push other people down. Am Yisrael will not do that. Am Yisrael will get to the top without pushing other people down. And their success will be because people will admire them and say, look at what a wonderful job they're doing. There's what to learn here. Ul torato iyim yiyachelu. And nations around the world will say, we want to know what they have to teach. Let me go see why they succeeded. Let me learn from them. Ko amar ha'el Adonai. So says Hashem, who is the powerful one. And the balance here is between the word Kel, which means powerful one who can bring justice, and the tetragrammaton, Hashem, who represents mercy. Hashem says, I am in charge of both. I'm in charge of justice, I'm in charge of mercy. Borei Hashamayim v'nooteyim. Hashem created the heavens, Hashem spread them out. Hashem established the land, and Hashem also produced from the land all the different vegetation and all that grows from the land. Hashem produced from the land. Hashem gives the soul to those who are on the land of Israel and to all those who walk on the land of Israel. Yes.
So why is it reversed in meaning from Hashem Elohim is the kind to the powerful, this is the powerful to the kind. Is there significance in this?
Yeah. Doesn't say. I have thoughts, but I don't think I should say what I think. Let's look for where the commentaries say. I haven't found where the commentaries say it, but I think if you want a clue as to why the order is reversed, so perhaps the context would explain. Earlier we spoke about the great justice and the justice that has mercy within it. Elohim, Hashem. Then we go on and discuss the heavens and the earth, and we always look to see what's the order. Am I looking first to the heavens or first to the earth? And perhaps that's why the order is Kel Hashem. But again, if it doesn't say, these are high concepts. I don't try to invent. Let's see what Chazal say. Yes?
I thought that Ka and Elokeinu are like Din and Kael and Yud-Kevav-Ke are mercy.
So El means potent one. And depends on where. Over here, there's a line that separates between Kel and Hashem. And so Rashi interprets it to mean two different things. Kel, separate, and then Hashem. If they were connected, so then it would be one or the other, either powerful in mercy or merciful in power. But here there's specifically a break in between. Our tradition is that the two don't go together. In the trap, there's a line. Look at Kel Hashem. There's a line in between denoting you should pause, separate the two. So then it's talking about two separate things. Now this pasuk is a pasuk that shows up in the Gemara, a very famous Gemara. Noten neshama la'am aleha. V'ruach la'olechim ba. We're talking about Hashem and the land of Israel. So the Gemara in Ksubos tells us like this. In the end of Ksubos, the Mishnah describes how every Jew should live in Israel. And the Mishnah describes how if a couple are in disagreement, and one of them says, let's go live in Israel, and the other one says, I'd rather not. So the one who says, let's go live in Israel, is in the right. And the other one will say, we never spoke about it. So the Mishnah says, but you got married. And if you got married, then it's understood that you meant in your marriage, if I could, I'd be living in Israel. You didn't have to state it. It's like an assumed condition in every marriage. The assumption is, if you could live in Israel, you will.
I just thought you could divorce someone if you wanted to go and they wanted to stay. You're saying under all circumstances, the person who wants to live is in the right.
That's right. Stronger. Right. That's much stronger. Right. That's what the... So the Gemara says.
If it's the woman, she gets her ketubah, and if it's the man, she doesn't get her ketubah.
Yeah, but the logic behind it is we understand that every Jew wants to live here, and if you don't, then you're the exception. The assumption is you got married as a Jew. Everyone understands you got married with understanding. You would want to live as a Jew, and it's like a built-in clause that's self-evident that you want to live here. That's the assumption. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. So the Gemara in Ksubo says a lot of wonderful things about the land of Israel. And then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar taught. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Metim shebechutz laaretz enam chayim. Those who are deceased in chutz laaretz are not going to come back to life. Rabbi Abba Marmamal asked, but we have a verse that seems to say not that way. So he answered him, Mikra acher ani doresh. He said, I have another verse that will prove that I'm right. And that's the verse we just learned. Noten neshama la'am alea. Hashem will give life to the nation that's on the land of Israel. When Hashem comes to give life again, to resurrect the dead, so then he will only give life la'amalat to those who are here. V'ruach la'olechim ban, a spirit to those who are here. So, but you have a source to say that there are those in chutzarts that will make it back. That's talking about other people. So the Gemara says it's a machlokas, whether the people in chutzarts are going to come back. Whether they're going to have an opportunity at Tchiyas HaMeizim. We're not talking about Olam Haba, we're not talking about Gan Eden. We're talking about Tchiyat HaMeitim, when Hashem's going to bring back the deceased. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, they're not coming back. Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal disagrees. But according to Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, from this pasuk we learn that the only ones who are coming back are them. So that's this pasuk. The Gemara then asks, what about Yaakov Avinu? What about Yosef? What about other tzaddikim? What about the nation that, you know, that died after 40 years in the desert? The Gemara has a lot of questions. So the concept is important. That's one thing we learned from this pasuk. Then we have another thing. Veruach laholechim. So there's another Gemara. This Gemara is in a tractate called Erechim. And the Gemara tells us, I didn't hear you. I'm not hearing you. I didn't hear. What did you say?
Huh.
cup. Not finding it. There's a Gemara here that discusses the Ruach Laholachim Ba, but I'm not finding it right now. Ruach Laholachim Ba. Cup, I'm not finding it right now. Tough, I have to find it. Okay, we'll continue. Yes?
This is a bit of a change of topic, and I guess it's kind of a backtrack, but as far as the title servant goes, is this, whether it be Mashiach or Am Yisrael, is this something, I mean, it seems like it's here, it's in Yeshaya and a couple of other places, so does it always have the same meaning?
No, okay.
When
Hashem speaks about His servant, sometimes it's David HaMelech, sometimes it's Klal Yisrael, sometimes it's Mashiach.
It's hard. In Yeshaya,
we're not always in agreement. Okay. The I don't know that there's consistency among the Mefarshim. I have to look. Whether when the Navi says Avdi, is it talking about Am Yisrael or Mashiach? We're going to get to later on the famous chapter Hinei Yaskil Avdi, which there is a huge argument between the Jews and the Christians how to interpret that pasuk. So when we get there, we will learn Nachmanides wrote a special letter just about that pasuk, special letter explaining why we don't agree with the Christian interpretation of that pasuk. We'll get there. But again, even on that pasuk, you have machloket, whether it's talking about the Jewish people at large, even among our commentaries, or it's talking about the Mashiach. We'll get there. Yeah. If you want, we had a class on it. And it's online in the Nachmanides, in the letters of Nachmanides. We have a folder on Nachmanides. So there we had a class. Or it could be under special classes. One of those two places. Yeah.
Okay. To my knowledge, the Gemara concludes that people that merit Chetametim, if they live in Chutz, if they died in buried in Chutz Arts, will have tunnels.
Look at the Gemara.
Which will transport them to Eretz Yisrael.
Hypertubes.
Okay.
And even if that's not the conclusion of the Gemara, that was my understanding of how Yisrael.
That's Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel. Yeah. That's a. In general, that's the approach we are familiar with. That's how Rashi seems to go also. That the people in Chutz Lartz will come back. It's just a question of how. That it'll be more difficult for them. But they will, yes. Rashi writes that in Vayechi. And that's different opinions in the Gemara in Erevin. Exactly how they're coming back. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, that video you were talking about, that's on the Mahon website, right?
So I don't know where it is on the Mahon website. They're redoing their website. Not all the classes are up right now. On my website, on 123Torah.com, 123Torah.com, so you could see the either under special classes or Ramban. The Mahon website, I don't know right now. I don't know.